part of chanting class. So we, of course, yesterday we read the 10 offenses to the holy name, which are, we're all quite familiar with those. And we'd like to forget them, but they won't, and we'd like to let go of them, but they don't seem to let go of us too easily. The offenses are like bad friends or bad dreams that keep coming back. Recurring bad dreams. Because of bad karma, some people have the same kind of dream of falling off a building or chased by a tiger or somebody's, mommy, somebody's chasing me. Oh, who is it? I don't know, somebody. And they wake up, and it's because of karma sometimes, some enemies from previous life. They can come in different ways. So these offenses are like bad dreams. They linger. They linger and they haunt us and stay with us for quite some time. So this one section here is rather appropriate. A few pages here. It's the 10 offenses. It's called Illumination and Rectification, Chapter 3 of Art of Chanting. And of course the first one is Sadhunindu, or blessing devotees. And our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, he chose to phrase this in Nectar Devotion. So blessing the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name. He was very specific about his explanation of the translation. And he was making it ISKCON specific. And Gaudiya Vaishnava specific. Gaudiya Sadhu specific. Although the Padma Puran, where these offenses are actually written in the Padma Puran was before Lord Chaitanya. And because the Padma Puran was written 5,000 years ago. It was spoken, it's been in oral tradition for millions of years. It was recorded by Vedavyas 5,000 years ago in one of the Puranas, Padma Puran, one of the Sattvic Puranas. There's 18 Puranas. So in there, these offenses are gleaned from there and they're incorporated into our Nam Bhajan, and we're enjoined to avoid them. Sometimes it's told, I've heard it's told, that these offenses actually apply to Lord to Shiva's name in the whole context of the Padma Puran, but I can't say, because Padma Puran is generally about Vishnu worship. At any rate, they are utilized and incorporated, they're in the Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and they're very much part and parcel of our bhajan. But Prabhupada, he would often do this in the Shastras. He would ISKCONize them. ISKCONize the translation or make it more specific, or what I said, ISKCON specific. And that's what we call poetic license. Poetic license, or the right or the freedom of the guru. Right or freedom of the guru to adjust the Shastras, not to change, but adjust the Shastras or translate or interpret them in a particular way to suit his Shishya. Because the actual first offense is Sadhu Ninda. It doesn't say Gaudiya Vaishnava Pracharak Ninda. The translation is Gaudiya Vaishnava Pracharak Ninda. To blaspheming devotees of the Lord who are dedicated their lives to propagating the glories of the holy name. That's a Pracharak. He does Prachar. Gaudiya Vaishnava Pracharak is a devotee of the Lord, means who's propagating the holy name. Well, that's Lord Chaitanya's business, the Nam Avatar. Kali Kalera Yuga, Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishnam Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Vine Nahi, Tara Pravartan. That this is the Dharma for Kali Yuga, is Nam Sankirtan. So, Prabhupada, he wanted to bring everything to home, to make everything relatable to us. But we should also understand the broader definition also, because, oh, he's not a Gaudiya Vaishnava, go to hell. He's not an ISKCON, who cares, I have no regard, let him go to hell. No, it's a Sadhu Ninda. Sadhu Ninda. Sadhu Ninda means to offend a sadhu, someone who's pursuing the truth, the sat. Sat datu. Sat, sadhu, sadhu. He's trying to understand the truth from whatever angle of vision he perceives or realizes. From Brahman, or from Paramatma, or from Bhagavan, Ram, the Shringa, Vishnu, Krishna. So this is sadhu. So there, or sadvi, and female sadvi, female saintly person. So we should have regard for them all. So I've often told the story that generally the system is that when someone the etiquette among spiritualists, if someone says to you, Jai Sri Krishna, then generally you reply by saying Jai Sri Krishna. They say Jai Sri, if you greet someone, they say Jai Sri Ram. Say Jai Sri Ram. Or you may say Jai Sri Radhe or whatever. And it's not that you're silent. You acknowledge their offering of the holy name to you and you offer the holy name back to them. It's called a loving exchange. Giving and receiving. This is love. I mean, in one sense. But of course, ultimately love is giving even without receiving. If you receive or not, it doesn't matter. So I saw one, I've told this story in temple many times. I was walking by the Krishna Balaram temple one morning and there was one Shaivite with full regalia. He was covered with ashes and he had Rudraksha beads on it everywhere. On his wrists, on his forearms, on his neck, and he was really devout tripundra, the tilak, three horizontal lines with trishun. He was a devout, all the symbols of a Shaivite, and seemed to be quite into it, and he was walking down the street. So I want to acknowledge him and also glorify his Ishtadev. So I said, Jai Ho Mahadev. And then he turned to me and said, Jai Shri Radhe.
Yay.
And with all enthusiasm and bhav and quite jorse, he said, Jai Shri Radhe. I said, yeah, Jai Shri Radhe. So I was thinking that I was making him feel good by glorifying his beloved Ishtadev. Because everyone likes to hear the glories of their... If you glorify someone's daughter or son, then that mother or father feel very happy because they have so much mamta for the daughter. This is mine, my daughter, my son. So if you glorify someone's Ishtadev, then naturally they feel happy. Oh, Lord Chaitanya is so wonderful. Yes, yes, he's so wonderful. Yeah, and you enjoy. So I was showing not only respect for the sadhu, but also trying to respect his Ishtadev by saying Jai Mahadev, Shankar Bhagavan Ki. And then he said Jai Shri Radhe. So he was returning. He was tit for tat. I was trying to glorify his Lord, so he accepted that. And he can understand, well, you're Gaudiya Vaishnava. Well, Jai Shri Radhe. Because you're Ishtadevi, you're Ishtata. Your Ishtata is Radharani. He's the Ishtata. That is the speciality of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Really the speciality of the Gaudiya Sampradaya is that Radharani, we worship the Devi, we worship the Shakta, the ultimate Shakta. Because if you look at every other Sampradaya, they worship Krishna. Every other Sampradaya, Vaishnava Sampradaya, they worship Krishna. Either singular, alone, or they worship with his consort, Lakshmi Devi, or Radha. Look at Nimbarki Sampradaya, very similar to us. As they accept the preeminence of Radharani, not Lakshmi Devi. But they worship Radha Krishna Yugo. Priya, Priyatam. But we worship Priyaji, Bas. Ekam Priyaji. This is our speciality. This is the speciality of our Sampradaya. Our aspirations become Dasis. Dasi, Dasi, Anudasi. Right? So we have a very special... That's why in Vrindavan, Vrijvasis, they're also Shakta worshippers. They all worship Radharani. No one says they're going to Shamkund. No one says they're doing Sham Parikrama. Everyone says, I'm doing Radharani Parikrama, which I've told so many people. If you don't live here, it's a very interesting point. That the Kundvasis that live here, that you're in someone's house and the daughter and some of the grandmother says, oh, we'll be right back, we're doing Radharani Parikrama. What's up? Radharani Parikrama, what is this? Is there a deity of Radharani somewhere? I've seen all the temples I saw. There's like Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mahaprabhu temple. No. There's Radharani Parikrama. And then just say Radharani. And it's like, I'm the dumb one, not them. I said, well, what do you mean Radharani? You know Radharani Parikrama, every day, Radharani Parikrama. So I said, what is this Radharani? And then they said, then I figured out, then my friend said, this means they're going around Radhakund. They're doing Parikrama of Radhakund. It's not a kund, it's Radharani. You know, the Brijvasis. I mean, they speak like this, and I don't know how much they see like this, but they speak like this. So they, rather than get into long details about this elaborate description of the offenses which are given here in Narada Chanting, Chapter 3, we want to talk about rectification, how to get free from the influence or the reaction or the this offense. So I've just picked out some little points, because each one has a rather long discussion. The main cause of Vaishnava Parad is Asat Sangha, because we're discussing blessing of devotees, Sadhu Ninda. So what causes this? Because we already mentioned earlier that this Vaishnava Parad is because of a mentality. It's because of an attitude. There's a wrong attitude that develops in our mind or in our heart. It's a bhav. It's a ninda bhav, if you want to call it such a thing. A ninda bhav, the bhav for making offenses. It's a feeling, it's an attitude, it's an outlook. It comes from within, and then it expresses itself by poor, bad words, or malicious statements, or even physical aggression against a Vaishnava, which is the fullest expression of the animosity, the inner animosity. The source of our bad words or foul mouth, as they say, is inside. It means a foul heart or a foul mind. So then the words come bad and the actions come bad. So that's why it's saying here that it's a very interesting discussion. The main cause of Vaishnava Parad is Asat Sangha. What is Asat? What is Asat Sangha? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains about that. But that means association with materialistic people. By associating with materialistic people, which means the people that aren't devoted to God, they're materialists. All they want to do is eat, drink, and be merry. And enjoy. Bogies. Because when you associate with material people, whoever they may be, mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, uncle, nephew, anybody, doesn't mean they're just because they're your parivar, doesn't mean they're Shuddha Bhaktas. They're materialistic people. Boss, finished. Although we have so much love. Oh, but he's my materialistic uncle. Materialist is a materialist. Uncle, cha-cha, mama, kaka, juju, jiju, whoever, whatever Jew they are. You're a Jew, my Jew, jiju. Doesn't matter who they are, what they are. It's like, you know, if they're not inclined towards God, then they're not very good association. So what happens then, if we associate with such people, they will make us feel envious of devotees. They will make us inclined to judge devotees by material standards, and they will make us find faults with devotees. A serious devotee must give up all bad association in order to attain perfection in chanting. So what is this, first of all, what does this term association mean? Does it mean that you can't eat dinner with your uncle, or you can't go visit your uncle and watch cricket match or whatever people do when they get together? It doesn't mean this. What association means? Association means you listen to his viewpoints and you listen to his preaching. So what is this Hare Krishna? Ah, they're bogus. You know, these people, they're loafers. They just sit around the temple and eat Mahaprasad. Why are you associating? This is bad association. This is bad association. These people are just taking money and living off people's money. They're just greedy and they're just trying to get your money. And they say, no, I know one sadhu. He gives more donations than I do. You know, whatever. He's not greedy. Whatever money he gets, he gives for cows and Vaishnav Seva. They're not all like that. Oh, really? But taking that, then this is like a pollution. We have air pollution. It means you go into Delhi and breathe and you get your lungs get polluted. And when you come home, what comes out of your nose? When you come home, all black junk comes out of your nose. Anyone from Vrindavan knows what happens to your nose when you go to Heli, Smelly, Delhi. This is my fond shloka for Delhi. This is the main thing. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is a quotation from the, well, it's Prabhupada's purport in Bhagavatam, but he's quoting the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested to explain the duty of a Vaishnava, this is the duty. The word duty means dharma, Vaishnav dharma. Dharma is often translated as duty, activity, action, behavior, methodology, how we should think, act, feel, look, behave, interact, intercourse with people, social intercourse. It's called Vaishnav dharma. So someone said, someone asked him the question, what is the duty of a Vaishnava? What should he do? I mean, I know he should worship Krishna, but can you tell me anything else? And this is Lord Chaitanya, who didn't speak a lot and waste his time speaking irrelevant things. Everything he spoke was of utmost importance. It was all the absolute truth and very important. So he said, when he was asked that question, he said, what is the duty of a Vaishnava, a Krishna-conscious person? Immediately, without thinking, he said, asat sanga tyag e Vaishnav achar. Shtri sangi eka asadu Krishna abhakta ar. He said the first business of a Vaishnava is to give up the association of persons who are not devotees of Krishna and who are too attached to material things. Stri sangi, children, bank balance, and so on. So Krishna abhakta. So this is those that are not devotees of the Lord. This is the achar, this is the behavior. Just like we're raising our children, and we teach them in behavior, achar. That this is how you behave with seniors, you behave like this, and we teach them proper behavior. This is the implantation of culture. Of course, the behavior is different, but this is for the Vaishnavas. So we can see that oftentimes when people, they go home or they go away from Vaishnavas for some time, they come back and they're all worn down. They lost the cutting edge, so to speak, because you become infected by bad association. Just like the converse is true. If you associate with devotees, you become surcharged, become inspired in bhakti. So obviously devotees will tell you about Krishna, remind you about Krishna, inspire you in doing kirtan and loving dealings and exchanges and appreciation and no backbiting and mind games. And I remember this one book we read in psychology class. It was called Games People Play. Very interesting book. Games People Play. And all the psychological warfare and various types of subtle torture that people do to one another, husbands and wives and so-called friends and family, because of ego. It's all about ego. It's all about envy, not about love and sharing and appreciation. So therefore, Vaishnavas, they're so powerful because they're the abodes of the Lord's love and the abodes of the Lord's mercy. So they can generate so many deep sanskaras for devotion within the heart of someone by associating with a Vaishnava. And they can generate so many loving feelings and so many transcendental emotions. But when you associate with materialistic people, it's all about one-upmanship. There's a term called one-upmanship. Everyone is trying to outdo the other person because of ego, which is competition, which is basically envy. Envy means you're trying to become better than me, you're trying to become bigger than me, now I have to establish my supremacy by diminishing you. It's very common. I'll give you a very common example. Two girls are talking or two boys are talking and they're always talking about something that they did or they saw. I saw this or I did that. So then one person says, oh, I saw this and I saw that and then I did this. And the person's listening. They're only listening, half listening, and waiting for an opportunity so they can speak. And then when you finish your spiel, whatever your spiel is, that means your talk. And then they say, well, oh, that's really nice. But when I did it, when I took the test, I scored 91. Oh, because the person said, oh, I took that exam, it was really hard, but somehow I got 80. I passed with 87. I did a good job. Oh, that's nice. You got 80, but I got 91. And then eat your heart out. Eat your heart out. I got 91. Oh, that's nice. So this is so-called my friend. This is my dear friend that lords it over me, and then I lord it over them. And then we meet again tomorrow, and he lords it over me, and I lord it over him. And this is the corruption of the material world and the shallow dealings of materialistic people. It's all about makes one run when one sees what the whole game is going on, and he has a bit of intelligence. He wants to run full speed somewhere away from such people and such dealings. He wants to find, and he because he has some inner inspiration to find something genuine, somehow or other, find something true and transparent and selfless, and actual loving. Then he stumbles into a Hare Krishna temple. At least this was our experience in the 70s. And he finds these people that they're not trying to get anything. They're not trying to get over on me. They're not trying to get anything from me. They don't want anything from me. They don't want life membership because they don't do it in America. And at least then. And they don't want my money. They don't want any. They don't even ask me anything about my money or anything. They just want to give me some special thing that they have, and that they're radiating, and they're like a dynamo of bhakti, like a humming electric generator or a humming atomic reactor. Maybe they don't hum; they're pretty quiet, I suppose. But somehow, they have something obvious that they want to share. They're all about giving. Love is all about giving. That's real love. And Krishna consciousness preaching is all about giving. Not gaining, not getting, not like, what can I get from you? You know, let me size you up, you know. Oh, hello, sir, yes. Acha, where are you from? Acha. What kind of work? First thing is, kind of people do in Delhi, they say, what kind of work do you do? Because they want to find out how much you're worth, how much oil is in your backside, so I can figure out how much I can squeeze this big fish. And big fish has lots of oil, and you squeeze and you get out the fish oil. So then he says, oh, I have a rickshaw. Acha, that's nice. Okay, you take darshan. Have a good day, huh? I'm a rickshaw driver. Then he parts company very quickly. What if you say, oh, I have a factory. Acha? Ding, 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 ding. Ding, ding, like Las Vegas. Dong, dong, dong. All right, jackpot. Three tomatoes. This is no one is looking for that. So materialistic people, they're all about this. It's about exploitation. It's about envy. It's about lording over. It's about getting something. So when you mix up with those people, that comes into you. And then if you have, that's why I always tell people, they say, oh, I want to preach Krishna consciousness. I say, okay, I'll give you one small suggestion. Don't preach it to any of your relatives at all. None of them. Your 400th cousin, your 7,000th uncle, your, you know, however long your family is. Don't preach to any of your family members, and don't even think about preaching to any of your friends, any of your school friends, or business friends, buddies. Forget. Never even say anything. Krishna is totally Gupta. You're Krishna, you're a gopi. Gopi means Gupta. Gupta means secret. Secret lover. You meet your lover in the forest at 12 o'clock at night under the trees, and no one knows, no one sees, just you and the moonshine and your lover on the bank of the Yamuna. That's Krishna and Radha. They are secret lovers. Mysterious private love. Confidential love. No one knows. They say, what makes you tick? Oh, I'm a vegetarian. Oh, that's very good. That's all you say. Why are you so shiny? Why are you so happy? What's with you? You're a different person. Something's changed. You've been coming to the office for years. Now you're different. Oh, I started drinking carrot juice. It's very, very good. You should try carrot juice. It's very good. That's it, boss. And then your life will be peaceful. And then, so you eliminate all your friends and you eliminate all your relatives. So that's like, you know, maybe 1,000 people, okay? 2,000 people. That's like 2,000 people. You forget about them. You leave them in a box and you just Pandora, that's called Pandora's box. You don't open it. You leave them there. Now, what's left? 4,900,000,000 people to preach to in the world. Now, let's just take India. There's, what's left is 999,000,000 and whatever, 998,000. So that's plenty of people to preach to. No shortage. And it's easier. But we think, we actually think out of craziness, we think it's easier to preach to our relatives because we know them. It's easier to preach to our work buddies because we know them, or our friends. But forget it. You're spinning your wheels, you're wasting your time. Just go and, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, go and witness. Go knock on a door and say, Hare Krishna. I live in your neighborhood. You know, I became Hare Krishna. What do you think of that? Hey, get out. Or whatever. Just go to the market with tilak on. Just go shopping with tilak on. Somebody's going to say, hey, what's going on? What are you? Oh, Hare Krishna. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I like to wear tilak and remind you of Krishna. And then out of nowhere, somebody will say, what's going on? Hey, why do you guys dress like that? That's why since 1975, aside from going to the airport in karmic clothes, I never went out and, you know, traveled or went anywhere without wearing a dhoti. Anywhere. And then later on, I'd be in a temple, and I was temple president, 1982 to 86. Devotees in the temple, some guy, he's going to the store to buy something. He puts on Levi's and T-shirt. I said, where are you going? Oh, I have to go buy some things for the gardener. We had a garden in our temple. I said, why don't you wear your dhoti? And of course, no, that's weird. No, it's like, I wear that in the temple. On Harinam. I said, well, what? So wear it all the time. No, there's people, it's like weird, you know. Initiated Brahmin, right? There's so much paranoid. I said, really? I go everywhere. Yeah, I'll go everywhere, but you know, we're not like that. So this, your burning desire to preach will be fulfilled. Just go walk, just put on tilak, go to the market. On the day, your day off or whatever. Or go to some market away from your house. So no one knows where you live. Like some of the people in Delhi, they do book distribution, some grihasthas. So they go to the opposite side of Delhi. Nowhere anywhere around their neighborhood. They say, we'll do book distribution. So they live here, they go 100 miles the other side of Delhi so that make sure they don't meet anyone they know. And then what happens is they go there and there happens to be some sale over there on that side, a big sale in that shop. And they didn't know about it. And the guy from their side of town is 50 miles over there. Hey, aren't you from Gurgaon? Yeah. Hey, what are you doing? Oh my God, that's my next door neighbor. What are you doing here? Oh, we're selling Bhagavad Gita. Really? I was always interested in Bhagavad Gita. And it's like this. So the conclusion of this first defense is, because this is interesting, because it says illumination and rectification. So there's some purport that says Sri Chaitanya, because in his own teachings he describes. Sri Chaitanya describes two categories of bad association. Sri Sangi, which we already described, what the actual meaning of the word woman in the Shastras doesn't mean men, the gender of men, it means the mentality of it, enjoying. But it's Sri Sangi, illicit connections with women or mixing with sensuous men attached to women. Basically means associating with sense enjoyers. Then Krishna Abhakta, there's a word the Lord Chaitanya uses, Krishna Abhakta, means associating with four kinds of Abhaktas, four kinds of non-devotees, Mayavadis, atheists, envious sense enjoyers, means they're envious of God or the devotees, and hypocritical materialistic devotees. This is interesting. It's called Prakrita Bhaktas. This is the term in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vaishnava Praya. Almost a Vaishnava. This is the one of the biggest causes of Vaishnava Parad is actually associating with Krishna Abhaktas, Prakrita Bhaktas. They don't really, they're too much, there's some bhakti, but there's lots of prakriti. Prakrita means lots of prakriti, lots of material energy, material conceptions, material attentions. Giving up association with non-devotees, Krishna Bhakta, also includes demigod worshippers. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu quotes the following verse. This is Rupa Goswami from Katyayana Samhita. Varam hutava rajwala panjarantar vyavastiti nashori chinta vimuka janasamvasa vaishasam. It is better to accept the miseries of being encaged and surrounded by burning flames than to associate with those bereft of Krishna consciousness. Such association is very great hardship. So to associate with non-devotees is great hardship. Our mother, our Kirtita Mata, Kirti, what's her name? Kirti. Kirti Mata, she's becoming inclined towards Krishna. And she's in America, and all of her sons and her husband, everybody, they're all carnivores. And she's really suffering because she's a very soft-hearted person. And she was, of course, similar to them, but it's time for her to turn her face towards Krishna. So over the last few years, she's become a different person with different sensitivities, and so she's really suffering and feeling great hardship and really hankering for the association of devotees. It's better to accept the miseries of being put in a cage surrounded by burning fire. It's you're locked in a cage and you're dropped in the middle of a forest and the forest is on fire. That's a better position. Because if you're locked in a cage, you can't get out, you can't run away, and the fire will come and consume you also. Better burn up. Better burn alive inside a prison, inside a cage, than associate with those bereft of Krishna consciousness. It's so subtle. It's like getting AIDS or something. If you intimately associate with someone, you get AIDS. They have AIDS, you get AIDS. So this is kind of it happens like that. You get infected. The Vishnu Rahasya says, Alinganam varam manye vyala vyagra jalokasam nasanga shalya yuktanam nana devaika sevinam. One should prefer to embrace a snake, a tiger, or an alligator, rather than associate with persons who are worshippers of various demigods and who are impelled by material desire. That's a good one. I mean, you go to embrace your uncle or aunt or something, and they're like some staunch materialistic people who worship Vaishnavi or Durga for so many material benefits. It's better you go leave their association, go embrace an alligator, wrestle an alligator. Realizing the purport of these shlokas, Ramanuja Acharya, who's the head of the Sri Sampradaya, he warned his disciples to strictly avoid demigod worshippers. He once said, he actually asked a question to his disciples, if you are about to die in a fire, but you can save yourself by running into a temple of the demigods where people are worshipping the demigods, you had better die in the fire. That's like, of course, this is the Sri Sampradaya. And Gaudiya Sampradaya, we would say, Yukta Vairagya. we would say Yukta Vairagya. We would say, judge a thing by its results. That, listen, it's better you run into the temple of the demigods. Don't pay attention to what they're doing. Chant your japa or do your gayatri. Let the fire pass over and then go out and preach. Or go out and do your bhajan or whatever. We're not so fanatical about things. It would be better to die in the fire than enter the temple of demigod worshippers. So obviously this is the on the high end of conservatism, strictness. And then what is the logic behind this? There has to be some logic. Is an acharya he's just a fanatic acharya? Or is there some logic, or some reason behind his statement? Let's try to understand the logic. There is no permanent harm if one dies in a fire or in the jaws of a tiger. This will not destroy one's bhakti sanskaras, which means impressions of devotion within our consciousness, our citta, our inclination to worship Krishna, our inclination, desire to chant His holy name and to associate with devotees and to remember Him, glorify Him. These are the sanskaras, bhakti sanskaras. Krishna confirms this in Gita, chapter 2, verse 40. Neha bikramo nashasti pratyavayo navidyate svapam apyasi dharmasya chayate mahatobayat. In bhakti, devotional service, there is no loss or diminution. Even a small service rendered in devotional life is sufficient to save one from the greatest danger. So now he's saying that the tiger eats you, then okay, you take another birth and again start your bhakti where you left off. If you became 50% Krishna conscious, you started at 50%. Tigers, wild beasts, and forest fires cannot destroy devotion, but the deathly association of lusty men and women, sense enjoyers, demigod worshippers, and desires for honor, wealth, and material things can destroy the impressions of bhakti in one's heart. Vaishnava aparad includes the actions of the body, mind, words, and heart. To not feel joyful upon seeing a Vaishnava is an offense arising from a heart immersed in envious feelings. The Skanda Puran describes six different types of Vaishnava aparad. These are in Hari Bhakti Vilas also. Hanti nindati vai dveshti Vaishnavan navinandati krudyate yati no harsham darshane patanani shat. These are the six. These are six offenses of Vaishnava aparad. One is considered an aparadi if he kills a devotee. Hanti, that's pretty clear. One who blasphemes devotees, one who is envious of devotees, this is an offense to be envious of a senior devotee or whatever. One who fails to offer obeisances to Vaishnavas upon seeing them. It says Vaishnava, it doesn't say sannyasi, guru, it says Vaishnava. One who becomes angry with a Vaishnava. One who does not become joyful upon seeing a Vaishnava. These six classes of foolish men, or ladies, who blaspheme Vaishnavas, go to the worst kind of hell along with generations of their ancestors. Hari Bo. So you'll be in good company. Your materialistic ancestors, your envious materialistic demigod worship ancestors, worshippers, and whatever they are, they'll all be in hell together with you. So you'll be in good company. So one of the one I really like, which we often comment on, is to not feel joyful upon seeing a devotee. You're in the Delhi temple, and you walk in the temple, and the person looks, oh my God, there he is. Oh, this guy. I remember one devotee, I was in Vrindavan, he came up, and he very ceremoniously offered obeisances right in front of me. And then I made obeisances to him also. And then he said, Maharaj, it's kind of a little bit eccentric type. He said, you're one of the few sannyasis that I feel inspired to offer obeisances to. The rest of them, forget it. I appreciate your sentiments, but actually we should have regard for all the devotees, and it's not good to harbor such feelings towards devotees. I mean, okay, you may have some vendetta against some particular individual, but to categorically lump all the sannyasis in like this, I don't think it's such a good idea. Anyway, that's all. And he was a little bit, that was the wrong thing to say. I was just trying to give a gentle advice that cool down a little bit, be a little more broad-hearted. He said, anyway, that's how I feel. And I said, okay, well, I respect that. Get me out of here. But this is a real catchy one here, this one from Skanda Purana. Not feel joyful upon seeing a Vaishnava. Well, because it's from Skanda Puran, which was written again 5,000 years ago, Skanda Puran refers to any devotee of Vishnu. Vaishnava means a devotee of Vishnu. It means Ram Bhakta, Vishnu Bhakta, Narayan Bhakta. That's what I understand. The word Vaishnava actually comes from some breakdown of what it means, but it means that Vishnu is, the word is a derivative of the word Vishnu. One who is a worshipper, and that, as far as the specific criteria, when you're a Vaishnava, when you're not a Vaishnava, but it doesn't, it just means a generic category. It means you're wearing Vaishnava tilak, which is vertical tilak, and tulsi kanti. All Vaishnavas wear tulsi kanti and vertical tilak of any of thousands of different shapes and forms. That's the Vaishnava. So these are the basic external symbols of identification for what merits one to be called a Vaishnava. So if such a person comes before you with Vaishnava tilak and kanti mala, or sometimes maybe no, then they should be respected and you should feel happy to see them. That's what I understand.
We just heard from the way to certain classes of people, and one of them is a Prakriti Bhakta.
Yeah.
So even the Prakriti Bhakta is practice.
Well, that it says to, we were, that was a different point. At that point we were discussing about Sangha, to associate with Prakriti Bhaktas. That will create an offensive mentality. So there's the difference between association and offering respect. Respect may be just a social passing by, or you may be happy. He's a Prakriti Bhakta, and because he's a Vaishnava, you're happy. Okay, I'm happy to see him. Bas. I don't talk with him. I don't share his neophyte ideas or his envious outlook or his sectarian viewpoint. Oh, why did you went to that lecture? Did you get sanction? Did you get permission from us to go to that lecture? Who's doing that preaching? Did he get a visa from our preaching department? The Delhi preaching department, we have to issue visas. Anyone comes here to preach. We're calling the CID on this person because he didn't get our sanction to speak Hari Katha. You need a visa coming from us. So all these type of talks, someone, that kind of person you can be happy to see and respect and happy to keep a distance. I'm happy to see you, and you keep a good distance, but I'm not happy to hear anything from you. I'm joyful to see you, but I'm not joyful to hear from you. I think that's what I would like to see it like that.
I'm happy still that at least he's trying. At least
no, he's our family. Just like you have your father's 10 kids. One guy's retarded. He's like this. He said, "Oh, get out from here! You're not our family. He's your brother, and you're happy, and you feed him, you take care of him. But that's his bad karma. He becomes retarded. Like there's two kids on the street, two retarded kids. But the parents, they dress the kids every day. They have fresh clothes every day. They're not like saying, 'Oh, they're retarded. They go on the street and become an urchin.' No, they're some Baniya's kids, and they're just like hanging around. But they every day they get fed and they." And they're taken care of, and they're washed, and they're clean, and they have fresh clothes every day. And, they love them; they're their children, but they're retarded. So, if someone's a Prakriti Bhakta, he's retarded. Retarded means slow. What does it mean? Retard. Retard means to repress or to hold back. To retard his devotional, the lotus of his heart is retarded. It's not opening. It's slow to open up. It's slow to develop. He's too much mixed up with prakriti. Prakriti means envious. Envy means prakriti. Prakriti bhakti, prakriti. Material energy means envy, greed, politics. This is all prakriti. This is what the material world's made of. So devotees that are absorbed in those kind of things, us and them, my guru is great, your guru is nothing, my guru is the only guru, and all this is envious. This is material. This is prakriti. So we avoid them. But you say, oh, it's nice, because still, when it gets down to it, if you were crashed in a boat somewhere, and you were stranded on an island, and it was just you and the monkeys, and you're all by yourself, and this other guy came along, and this guy came in an airplane, in a Piper Cub airplane, and his airplane blew up, and he fell out of the airplane, he landed on the island. And he was some Prakriti Bhakta from the temple you knew before. A total materialistic. And when you saw him, you would embrace him. Oh, Prabhu! Haribo! And he'd say, Haribo! You'd be so happy. You'd be the happiest person in the world just to have any kind of other devotee to talk to. And to say Haribo to and to talk about Krishna. And because there's only two of you, and probably you could get along for a short time before he'd become envious and you had a big fist fight and probably drown one or the other in the ocean. But at least for a few days, you'd be really happy to see that person. So when push comes to shove, I let's put it this way: any devotee would rather be with a Prakriti Bhakta than a Karmi. Because at least a Prakriti Bhakta, at least you can agree on this: we have to eat Krishna Prasad. We don't eat hot dogs, hamburgers, onions, garlic. That much we agree on. And do you like to chant Hare Krishna? Yes. Oh, me too. Well, let's chant Hare Krishna. Usually every bhakta, he likes to chant Hare Krishna to some extent. Sometimes, a few minutes a day at least. And then he likes to take prasadam. So even if he's a gross, prakriti, envious, wretched, fallen urchin, still, there's some commonality, there's some common ground. He worships the same Ishta that I do. So, I have respect. And I'm happy to see him. Oh, here comes Krishna Das. Haribo, I'm so happy. Bye, hi, bye. Hi and bye. Any more about this Vaishnava Aparad thing? Of course, there's more, actually. This is some of Lord Chaitanya's preaching. It was a whole long pastime about his mother, and it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat. But I rather like the preaching that Lord Chaitanya is speaking here. He says, this is quite appropriate. You should put this on the bulletin board. You should put this on the wall in the Delhi temple and Punjabi Bhag temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Chaitanya Bhagavat, a person who calls one Vaishnava a big Vaishnava and another Vaishnava a little Vaishnava may be peaceful and happy for now, but how long will he remain peaceful and happy? One should avoid a person who offends Vaishnavas, even if that person is otherwise very qualified. Big post, he may have a big post in the temple or a big position in the society, so he may look very qualified. But if he's an offender, one should avoid him. A little association with an offender will make one fall down. This is Mahaprabhu's telling. From Brahma down to the grass, every living being is the Lord Krishna's energy. So this is Lord Chaitanya. This is serious. We're all supposed to be worshippers of Lord Chaitanya. We're supposed to follow his teaching, isn't it? So what's he saying? Are we following it? If we're not following it, then what kind of follower, what kind of devotee are we? From Brahma down to the grass, every living being is Lord Krishna's energy, Shakti, Jiva Shakti, Shakti, Tatsasya Shakti. Therefore, all Shastras declare, Lord Krishna becomes very angry with anyone who blasphemes another living being. It's called Jiva Himsa. If a person studies the four Vedas and then blasphemes others, he will fall into hell and suffer birth after birth. The sin of blasphemy robs all intelligence and fills the heart with suffering. Lord Chaitanya delivers everyone except the sinners who blaspheme Vaishnavas. Oh, this is actually Vrindavan Das Thakur's. Lord Chaitanya said, all living entities in the numberless universes are my eternal servants. Living entities, it didn't say Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Therefore, any living entity who harms or offends another living entity will perish. If a sannyasi blasphemes an innocent person, the sannyasi will fall down and lose all his piety. Then, raising his golden arms, Lord Chaitanya declared to the entire world, Renouncing criticism of others. We should renounce it, stop it, reject it. No more. Bas, hogya. Renouncing, stop it. Don't do it anymore. Renouncing criticism of others. Everyone, please chant. And then Lord Chaitanya spoke the Mahamantra. It's in the Chaitanya Bhagavad. Lord Chaitanya is saying, I will personally deliver anyone who does not criticize others, but who once chants the name Krishna. Hearing Lord Chaitanya speak like this, the devotees cheered. Jai, jai, jai. This is Gaura Govinda Swami. He told the story of the needle and the sieve. And then after that, he gave some his purport, which we want to read. He said, are you perfect yourself? Like people that always have a lot of things to say. It's so amazing. If someone is initiated for a few years and they feel quite free. They're initiated a couple of years or 1 year or a few years and they feel quite free and quite relaxed to spout out from their mouth to say anything about any Vaishnava who may be 30 years practicing Krishna consciousness. He may be a guru or a sannyasi or a senior Vaishnava lady or a senior Vaishnava gentleman. And some new person, they don't feel any shame or any hesitation. Oh, that blah blah blah. You see it; it's very common. They don't think anything about who am I speaking about? How many years have they been serving the mission or been serving their guru, and how sincere this person is? And I should think twice about what I'm about to say or what I'm going to say. Who am I? I'm a new sprout on the block. I've been here 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And this lady, blah 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 blah. You don't even know the person, don't know anything, and this is the real frightening thing. So he's saying before we should think before we have so many bad things or critical things to say about others, we should ask ourselves a question: are you perfect yourself? If you have some defects yourself, then why do you find fault with others? Sages say, don't see bad in others, but see the bad in yourself. If you have the nature, if you have that nature or tendency to see bad, which is pretty pervasive nature, it's a basic Kali Yuga Swabhav. We see everywhere we see faults, and everywhere we see people's faults and their deficiencies, except us. So if we have that nature, which is pretty standard, then we should see what is bad in yourself. Hey, he's like this, and he's like that. And he's like, wait a minute, what about me? Is there any badness in me? Well, no, I'm God. How can I be bad? I'm actually God. I'm the greatest gift to the world. I came here to liberate everybody. I'm a great contribution to everyone. Is there something bad in me? I can't see anything. Can you see anything? I can't see anything. If you find good in some person, then just accept that. You should think, yes, that is good in him. Let me accept that. In other words, you look at some person, oh, he's bad like this and that, like that. Well, is there anything good about him? Well, yes, he chants Hare Krishna. He's initiated. Oh, is that good that he took initiation from a guru? Yes, that's good. And the person's living at Radhakund? Well, that's also very good. Okay, bus. All the other things you have to say, then be quiet. Close your eyes on the bad things and open your eyes to the good things. This is nice, right? Close your eyes to the bad things. Paramahamsas never see anything bad. In their vision, everything is related to Krishna. Speaking ill of others is a great anartha for the sadhak who has come to the path of bhajan. That's Gaura Govinda Swami's advice. He gave one lecture. It starts off, actually, he said, Bhakti Devi completely disappears by committing Vaishnava Parad. Vaishnava Parad means to blaspheme, find fault, criticize or speak ill of devotees. Generally, this is done out of fear and enviousness. Vaishnava Aparad takes place when there are fear, when fear and enviousness. The first offense in the list is this one. It's number one. And it is number one. It's number one and it's number one. There are 10 offenses. Number one is Sadaninda. And it's number one. It's a champion. If this one is given up, then practically there's no more offenses. Because all the rest of them go together. The Shastras say to honor and serve the Vaishnavas. So if you offend the Vaishnava, then you're also doing Shastra. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Shastras. So if you're offending the Vaishnava, you're automatically offending the Shastras. The Shastras say honor the Vaishnavas, serve them, respect them. And then you disobey the order of the spiritual master. Right? The spiritual master says, serve the devotees, honor them, respect them, reveal your mind. Always think of yourself as smaller than lower than a straw on the street. This is the disobey the orders of the spiritual master. He's teaching like this, and we're not acting like that. We're acting proud and envious. So then we're by offending the Vaishnavas, we're also offending the Guru. And then it's like you go down the list, practically all the Vaishnava first offense includes the other nine.
Well, to really know whether he is a Prakata Bhakta, or whether to know whether is he Asat Sarva, or
just listen. Yeah, you have to judge. Yeah, exactly. Discrimination must be exercised at every turn. Otherwise, you can't even drive your car. Can't drive your car without using discrimination. Oh, let me pull out. Oh, wait a minute. That truck's going very fast. I think I'll be here in 1 second. I better slow down. You know, there's discrimination. You have to weigh things and make a choice based on applying your intelligence. So by studying the Shastras and knowing what are the symptoms of a Prakriti Bhakta, and then what is the behavior of a proper devotee, how he speaks, how he walks, and then you meet with somebody and he starts speaking badly about devotees, and you say, whoa, wait a minute. Bye, see you, goodbye. Then give him a label and avoid him. Judge him, give him a label. Yes, he's a Prakriti Bhakta. Dandavat Pranam, nice to know you, see you, bye.
But my fear is that I might just bump into another devotee and then tell him that I'm given this label.
No, that, and then you're the offender.
Yeah, that's exactly. So, you know, it's always in your mind.
It's not always in your mind. What are you talking about? Is, you know, when is driving the car always in your mind? When you drive the car, then you do your car thing. When you're not in the car, you're doing something else. So what's always in your mind is how to respect everyone, how to love everyone, how to serve everyone. That should always be in your mind. You know? And Krishna's name and Krishna's pastimes, that should always be in your mind. And you meet a devotee and you're always friendly and you're happy because you're always remembering Krishna. You're always thinking of Krishna and chanting his name and remembering and talking about him. So you're always happy. And if you meet someone and then he's speaking like this, ill of devotees, and you very, you know, gracefully discharge yourself or remove yourself, and that's it. And then it, you know, when you deal, you, in other words, like you know karate, but you don't go around chopping everybody in the head all the time. But that knowledge it's within you. You're a triple black belt. So you're walking down the street and some guy, hey man, give me your money, and starts grabbing your wife and you say, hey, what's this? And then you, all of a sudden you pull out your knowledge of karate and knock the guy in his head. Knock the guy out, you know, boom. Don't touch my wife, you know. So then the karate's back. So the same thing. You use the appropriate knowledge when the time comes. It's not that you're always thinking, always judging, always thinking, always judging. You're always thinking of Krishna and speaking about Krishna, remembering Krishna, and engaged in your particular service of Krishna, cooking, cleaning, writing, editing, whatever you're doing, maintaining your family, raising your babies. Then you come across some situation, then you apply the appropriate knowledge. It's not your mindset or your world, your viewpoint. Your viewpoint is all embracing, is all encompassing, because love is like this. Your basic viewpoint is a joyful one. The basic viewpoint of a devotee is we give everyone the benefit of the doubt. It's called give everyone the benefit of the doubt. In other words, we don't judge anyone. We don't judge until it's time to judge. Like the judge not going around, hey, guilty, guilty. When he sits in the court, then he hears the cases. Then he gives a judgment. Doink. You know. 6 months, this, $100. But he's a judge. He's an official judge. But when he comes home, he's not judging his wife and judging his kids. You know, when it's time to judge, he judges. And when it's time to judge, you make a judgment. That's your that's the devotee. He uses discrimination, intelligence. Well, this guy's bad association. I got to write him off. And next time I see him, I say, Haribabu, nice. Oh, I want to talk. Oh, I'm a little busy now. Nice to see you. Bye. That's it. You don't go around. Hey, you know, he's got leprosy. Watch out for that guy. You know, give him bad press. You don't go around and do advertising for him, but you make your choice and you avoid him. You follow or you don't follow? You judge when it's time to judge. You use the term judge. I wouldn't use judging. I would just say applying devotional discrimination. I would like to use this term. Applying devotional discrimination. But as I said, Srinata Pisunicha, Amani Dena means you show man. Show man to everyone. Man means respect. On one level, you show regard and respect to everyone. Respect all, but carefully make your choice, carefully choose your association, because it can be very dangerous. You choose the wrong association, it can be very dangerous. We're hearing the dangers of it. It can be very dangerous. It can be deathly. It can destroy your bhakti. If you make the wrong choices on the highway, you can be finished. Well, I think I'll pass this guy. Wait a minute, the other car is coming fast. So what? Maybe I should pull in. No, I'm not going to pull in. He should pull in. If he doesn't pull in, then it's too bad. Well, he happens to be a truck, and you happen to be a Zen. So if you don't pull in, then it's you're a has-been. You'll be finished. You'll be a decoration on his bumper. He'll just run right over you. Lorry, full speed, full pack lorry. If a Zen comes in front of it, actually crushes it and runs right over it and keeps going. It comes a pancake. Well, let's say a road cake. It's not in the pan, it's in the road. So you have to make it a decision. Oh, I think I better not pass this guy right now. So that's intelligence. So that saves your life. You save your life by making a choice based on intelligence. So you can save your spiritual life by making choices based on intelligence. Intelligence is based on what you hear. Your experience and what you hear shapes your intelligence. So we have intelligence which is inherited due to our previous experience and samskaras. Some of it's alpameda and some of it's sumeda. It's meager intelligence or it's good intelligence. But intelligence can be cultivated by proper hearing, association. And you can, then you get, oh, this is the right standard. This is devotee, this is not devotee. If we have naivety, and that's due to ignorance. Oh, all the devotees are nice. I like all the devotees. All the devotees are great. I like all the devotees. And you're just a puggle. You have to know the rules of the road. You have to know the rules on driving. Yeah, well, I drive the car. I drive everywhere. I drive on the sidewalk, left, right, everywhere. Yeah, well, that's why you're getting tickets all the time. The cops keep stopping you. And you can tell them, you say, well, I drive everywhere, all the places. No, hey, look, Jack, you stay in your lane and you drive like this. So you have to know the rules of the road. You have to know the rules of the devotional road, bhakti mark. That's why we so much emphasize studying. Study, hear, associate. It's not some automatic thing. Oh, I'm Krishna's God and I'm his devotee and that's it. You have to know the pitfalls. You have to know who to avoid. And the girl says, oh, Daddy, I'm going out in the forest now to pick flowers. He says, no, it's not really a good time because now it's after sunset and the tigers are there. Maybe you better wait till tomorrow morning. She goes out to pick flowers in the nighttime and doesn't come back. Tom. So there's many tigers in the forest of devotion and alligators. We heard about them. And they devour you. They destroy you. They finish you off. You'll cripple your faith in guru, cripple your faith in others. So you have to find out what's going on. Where's the love? Where's the appreciation? Where's the honor? Honor of others, respect of others, respect your seniors, honor, have regard. This is so much unfortunate. In Kali Yuga, because people are so low class, they're just like vipers. What did Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati say? This material world is no place for a gentle person, gentleman or gentle lady. Because they're sensitive. They're gentle. They have godly feelings and sensitivity. So when you see that when the Vaishnav Samaj, or of course, it becomes like materialistic society, where people are only interested in money, position, nice clothes, fancy gaddi, AC flat. And you see that in the Vaishnav Samaj. Nowadays, there's so much interest in these material things. So then it's a material society. So then if someone is living in that Vaishnava Samaj, he's also some kind of Vaishnava, but he's a little bit gentle, then he'll feel like, this is no place for me to live. I can't live here. I have to go somewhere and get away from this. So then he looks somewhere and finds some place to, not exactly hide, but just to avoid all the wolves in sheep's clothing. It becomes very painful. Especially when he's actually experienced the opposite. Especially for us direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada, we joined this mission when it was spiritual, 100% spiritual. Everyone was dedicated to the center. There was one center, one guru, one center, one service. Book distribution, preaching, and everyone was cooperating, the deity department, everything, everyone cooperated and worked together to please Prabhupada by preaching, opening temples, distributing books. Everyone, cooperation means love, mutual appreciation. The cooks appreciate the sankirtan devotees at the temple. Everyone appreciated each other, and everyone worked together. It was an army, it was a unit. In the army, you need everybody. You need drivers, you need soldiers, you need clerks, you need cookers, you need cutters, you need cleaners, everything you need in the army. And Prabhupada preached like that, honor everyone. Don't think you're a big devotee because you're a preacher. Everyone is a train. And then Prabhupada repeatedly kept us in the right consciousness. And the temples were like beehives of activity and beehives of bliss. Bees are happy too. They're always drunk all the time. Bees are always drinking flower nectar, so they're always buzzing. They're always like jacked up. You know, imagine you're drinking sugar all day, how much jacked up you'll be. You know, if you go to drink sugar, you think glucose all day. Haribo! Every 5 minutes you're taking a shot of glucose, so you can imagine how jacked up honeybees are. So they're always going like high RPMs, right? There's not 1,000 RPMs, it's like 10,000 redliners. All those bees are on the red line, 7,000 RPMs. So the temples were like that. I mean, people actually smiled in the temple. They're actually smiling and happy, you know, and the Sringa knows. We saw, I mean, I'm not trying to paint some grandiose picture of the old days, how great it was, but you kids are all, you know, you don't know what it's like. Love is contagious. Love is really contagious. So we old dogs that joined our master in the early, whatever, now it's early days or whatever days of his campaign, his preaching campaign, we can only reminisce. We're like old people that sit around the porch in the rocking chairs. Well, Sonny, when I was a kid, you know, we used to walk to school 3 miles. Now you take your 1200 Honda. I don't mean to be like that, but just the point is that it can be like that at any time. As soon as someone becomes actually a devotee and devoted to Krishna, he's in the spiritual world.